Today's scripture comes from Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 to 6. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. "Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend the city." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Recently, I read that the board of Tesla passed the salary of Elon Musk to a number that none of us really know how to count. It's like in the billions. How could someone get billions, close to a trillion of salary? Elon Musk never get any salary in cash. His salary in cash is actually zero, but he's get all these stocks. So the stocks, according to his proposal, he will get like billions of dollars of annual salary. It's just beyond our imagination. But on the other hand, we know how important it is to have a great leader for any organization. Very often we complain and say that, you know, how come this CEO of this corporation gets million dollar salary? You know, I work so hard cleaning the washrooms, selling hot dogs, and I only get $20 an hour. You know, it's just not fair. But sometimes you have to realize that the fall and the rise of all these big corporations, all these magnificent seven, we call it all this AI, all the technology company in US, which if you own stocks, you've become really rich. All these big corporation companies, their rise and fall, look at Apple, sometimes rely on the leader. So it's not how many hot dogs he sells, or how many floors he vacuums. It is his leadership that makes the difference. So on the other hand, we have to appreciate why they are being paid a lot of money. And today we look at this great king. This great king, the Bible said, is the greatest king in Israel's time. He was the king of Judah, Hezekiah. Last time I spoke about Hezekiah, how he faced the enemy, the Assyrians. And they were outside Jerusalem, ready to attack. And my sermon last time is a loud voice. Doesn't mean that it is true. The enemy is shouting at Hezekiah and his people. But instead of arguing back, what did he do? He went to seek the advice from Isaiah and from the Lord. And he went and prayed. And God helped him and his people to overcome this crisis, the enemy. This enemy that was supposed to overrun them. So he is a great king. And it did not mention in Isaiah, but in First King, And 2 Kings and also 2 Chronicles, it actually recorded a lot of the happenings with this king. 2 Kings 18:5-6, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he came to the Lord, he did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Wow, this is a great leader, isn't it? There's none like him before, or there will not be another one like him. It's the best king that Judah has ever had and will ever have. And it is, well, we'll see. I was going to say that it is true, but we'll see. But the Bible said that he was the greatest king. And that's why when this first crisis that we study from chapter 36, Isaiah 36 and 37, and we see how he led his people to win this war against the enemies, this enemy that's supposed to overrun them. But before, but last time I did not mention why God listened to him. And today we have to actually look back a little bit before Isaiah 36 and 37. And Hezekiah became the king. He was only 25 years old when he became king, 2 Chronicles 18, verse 2. He was only 25. That's younger than most of you here. I was looking at some young people. He was only 25 years old when he became the king. But we can see but from why he was such a great king. The first year, he was so young in his reign, in the first year, first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So the very first thing he did was to repair the house of God. During the COVID time, we painted this sanctuary, you may not realize, but there was no one inside the church for almost a year. So actually we hired a contractor who came in and painted the ceiling. It was a big, quite a big job. And the first thing he did when he became a king, he cared about the temple of God. And then the next thing he did is he brought in a spiritual reformation. Then he said to them, "Listen to me, O Levites, consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself now and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry the uncleanness out from the holy place. For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done evil in the sight of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him and turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and have turned their backs." He brought revival to God's temple. And not only that, while the whole assembly worshipped, he renewed the worship. The singers also sang and the trumpets sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph, the seer. So they sang praises of joy and bowed down and worshipped. Revival comes from the renewal of worship, spiritual cleanliness. Not only he did not stop here. So they established a decree to circulate a proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to celebrate the Passover, that they have forgotten for a long time. to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they have not celebrated it in great numbers as it was prescribed. So today, you may be bring back communion. They didn't even do communion for a long time. So they did not remember Passover for a long time. So this new king is a young king, 25 years old, brought back all this worship, consecration, and dedication to the Lord. And he did not stop here either. He removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars, the worship, the idols, and cut down the Asherah, which is a foreign idol. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. Now, is this the real, original serpent that Moses made? Because Moses is about 700 years before Hezekiah. So we do not know, but assume that it is. So they start worshiping all these items, worshiping idols, sacred pillars. And Hezekiah removed all this. He must have offended a lot of leaders, people in the temple. He removed all this that they worshiped for a long time. And then this is the real test. As soon as the order spread, the sons of Israel provided in abundance the first fruits of grain, meal, wine, oil, honey, and of all the produce of this field. And they brought in abundance the tithe of all. They start tithing, giving back to the Lord. Tithing is a command from the Lord that you have to give one-tenth to the Lord. They probably haven't done that for a long time. But Hezekiah renewed this. The son of Israel and Judah who lives in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of oxen, sheep, tithe of sacred gifts, which were consecrated to the Lord their God and placed them in heaps. In the third month, they began to make the heaps and finished them by the seventh month. Wow, people are lining up to tithe, to give to the temple. It takes them months to count them. They're piling up all the oxen, the sheep outside the church. It's like people trying to donate money to the church that we cannot catch up. There's so many checks. It takes them months to count and enter them. Wow, this is a true revival. We can give time, energy to serve God, but when it comes to our money, it is a different story, isn't it? It's okay that I serve really hard, but once you're talking about tithing, it is a different kind of sacrifice. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, because there was nothing like this in Jerusalem since the day of Solomon, the son of David. Wow, it's been a long time. People are tithing, giving, and they're so happy. I don't know if you ever experienced this. You know, the more you give, it's not that I'm struggling, I'm suffering, I have to give to the Lord. But no, they're in great joy. Then the Levitical priests arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayers came to his holy dwelling place to heaven. Wow, even from heaven, God can hear the joy of singing, of giving, of serving, throwing away all the idols. So Hezekiah was a great king, isn't it? He brought renewal, reformation, spiritual reformation to his people. Every work which he had began in the service of the house of God, in law and in commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. Everything that he did, he prospered. God is with Hezekiah, and he was only 25. So among us, we have some young people here, sitting here this morning. So don't let people look down on you, you're young. you can be like King Hezekiah. Everything that he did it with his heart. He seek God's guidance. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all this will be given unto you. So that's why last time when we look at Isaiah 36 and 37, that's why Isaiah, Hezekiah has so much power, not from himself, from the Lord. When he faced this great enemy, the Assyrians, he did not try and fight back. He just went to the Lord and prayed. And God sent one angel, only one, to kill 180,000 of the enemies. Because Hezekiah was a spiritual young man. And the second crisis came in chapter 38. This is the second greatest crisis in his life. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. He was still very young. It's like 39 years old. He's still very young. Became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order. Go and go to clear your bank accounts. Make a will, for you shall die and not live." That's not a very nice thing to say. You're going to die. You're not going to live. This is coming from Isaiah, the prophet. That means it's coming from the Lord. "I'm so young," Hezekiah was saying. "I cannot die." This is the second crisis that Isaiah is facing. Did he abandon the Lord? No, he did not. When we read 38 and 39 carefully, he knew that he's going to die. He was only it's less than 40 years old. And what did Hezekiah do? Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. This is a bigger crisis than the first one. The first one is about saving his people. It is a very serious crisis. The enemy is outside, but at least there are people behind him. They fight together as a nation. But now he has to face this crisis all by himself. That he's going to die. No one can help him. Well, he can go to see the doctors. He did not. The very first thing he did, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. So Hezekiah is still a godly man. He still fully trusted the Lord. The very first thing he did, the way like we read in last chapter 37, he did not go and ask, "What should I do? What should I eat? What should I drink? No, should I do more exercise? How can I extend my life?" The first thing he did, again, like when he faced the first crisis, he went to the Lord. He turned his face to the wall and prayed. To the wall. He did not go around having prayer meetings, asking all the people to pray for him. He himself, he turned to the wall. Quietly, he prayed to the Lord. So he's still a good man, a spiritual man. And said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is great in your sight." Now, at this point, I sense that, don't you sense that Isaiah has changed a little bit? Isn't it? He wasn't like that in chapter 37. Now this is 38, few years down the road. His prayer is a little bit different now. Now he is talking to the Lord and saying, well, he did not demand, but sounds like he is complaining. "I have done a lot for you, God. I worked hard for you. I walked before you in truth, with whole heart, with truth, and I've done what is good in your sight. I've done a lot of good work. I deserve a better ending than this. Now, he starts to bargain. He starts a little bit not happy, isn't it? You sense a little bit, he's not a little bit unhappy. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So he was bitter. So I can see that Hezekiah has changed from wholly, truly, and fully relying on the Lord. Now he is putting himself in front. Lord, I have done all this for you. You should bless me. But you're not. But he did not see that there is God's plan for everyone's life, even Hezekiah. And then look back in history, we probably know why God ended his life there. Then he would have ended well. But we know that God given him more time to live. Sometimes it may not be good if you don't use those time to glorify God. And then God is a mercy God. He heard what Hezekiah was complaining. Go and tell Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. Wow, 15 years more to his life. He's supposed to be with the Lord at 39. God gave him 15 more years. So we can ask God to give us longer life. But there's a purpose. If God give us longer life, is that for us to continue to worship, to grow, to glorify him. And we have to use the extra time that we have to serve him, to bring glory to him. But we know that he, Hezekiah, did not. And in those 15 years, we know that the worst king of Judah was born. He was the son of Hezekiah, Manasseh. He was considered the worst king of Judah. And he was born in those 15 years. Those extra time that God gave to Hezekiah, he did not. He was not a good father. He did not train, equip Manasseh to be a good king. And then, when after God gave him 15 more years, he wrote a song to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he still remembers the Lord. We did not read this morning, but 38, when you continue to read from 38, 15 to 20, it was a very long poem, a song that Hezekiah was so happy. He was excited. Now he has 15 more years to serve the Lord or to enjoy life. He wrote a song to praise the Lord. But when I look at his song more carefully and highlighted, what is in English, but the original Bible is in Hebrew. And look, I highlighted all the words that says, I am to enter the gate. I will not see the Lord. I suffer. I oppressed. Continue, 15 to 20. The more I have my own welfare. He is praising the Lord, but you see all this me. He's not changing his focus, his prayers to you, the Lord, to me. When we pray, are we sometimes like that? Lord, I need this. Oh, bless me. Oh, I am in trouble. Oh, I need a better job. I need a better relationship. The prayer is not about us, my needs. You can see this from Isaiah, Hezekiah. Did Hezekiah become an ungodly man? No, I think he is still a godly man, but he has changed. He's not the same person as in chapter 37, 36, when he first became a king when he was 25 years old. He changed it. He is still a godly person, but he changed it. He's slowly shifting to his own needs, even though he still worships. He still praised the Lord. He still served the Lord. And when we look back at the last chapter, we look at chapter 37. When he prayed, his prayer was different, isn't it? Chapter 37, 16 to 20, I highlighted. But you don't see the I, me, myself here. You see, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, God, you alone, you have made heaven and earth. O Lord our God, you alone, Lord, are God. When he was young, well, he was still young, when he wrote the other song of praise, but he was, all his focus was on the Lord. And that's why God blessed him greatly, and that's why he became the greatest king of Judah. But then he changed it slowly. He's still following God, but he has changed it a bit. He started looking at, it's no longer to live for the Lord. He starts thinking and say that I have to live. I have to continue to live. And then those 15 years that he got, he did not use it carefully. And then the third crisis came, chapter 39. This is the greatest crisis. This is not the crisis about health. It's not the crisis from enemy. This is the greatest crisis that we all have to face, like Hezekiah. And what is this crisis? Hezekiah was pleased. I enlarged the fonts here. He was very happy. This word pleased is a little bit mean, is a bit proud. He was very happy about himself. He was pleased. And when the representatives from the Babylon came, and he sold these people from Babylon, all his treasure house, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious oil and his whole armory, all his equipments, chariots, all the weapons they has, and all that was found in his treasury, he showed the Babylonians, representatives, everything that he had. Money, treasure, chariots, horses, airplanes, tanks, all his military equipments. He was so proud of what he had accomplished. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah did not show them. He showed them everything, and he made a big mistake. 100 years later, the Babylonian came and took everything, and they were exiled. They lost their country, they lost their land, they lost their freedom. 100 years later, he was proud of himself. And Isaiah came. This time, he did not go and see Isaiah, like in chapter 37, 36, when he faced the first crisis, the enemies of the Assyrians coming to attack. He went to see Isaiah. But now, Isaiah came to see him. The Isaiah, the prophet, came to the king. He was worried, he concerned to Isaiah and said to him, what did this man say? And from where have they come to you? And Hezekiah said, they have come to me from a far country, from Babylon. These people from far away, they came here to see how great our nation is. We fought off the Assyrians. Even the Babylonians at that time were scared of the Assyrians. We fought off the enemies. And I was going to die. And God gave a miracle. I lived for another 15 years. He was so proud of himself. Look at all this treasure. He no longer see that God is his most trusted friend, alliance. He want to be in an alliance with the Babylonians. They want to join together. He start focusing on people rather than God. Isaiah said, "Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store to this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord, and some of your sons who will issue from you, whom you will beget, will be taken away, and they will become officials in the palace of the king of Babylon." And this happened 100 years later. This prophecy was fulfilled. Wow, God's punishment. God promised this punishment. Why was God so mad? I mean, Isaiah just, he's a guy just show off a little bit. Show off all these Ferraris I have, right? All these mansions I have, right? To the enemies. Babylon, it's not exactly their friends. It's just showing off the wealth a little bit. I mean, sometimes we do that all the time, don't we, right? But why was God so mad? Well, we have to look at Second Chronicle to see why God was so mad. In those days, now Hezekiah had immense riches and honor, and he made for himself treasures for silver, gold, precious stones, spices, shields, and all kinds of valuable articles. He made cities for himself. Everything is about himself. All the treasures is for himself. All these castles, mansions, is for cities. He made cities for himself and acquired flocks and herds in abundance. And he made cities for himself, and for God had given him very great wealth. And all this was blessings from the Lord. But he forgot. He has forgotten that these blessings were from the Lord. He thinks that he has accomplished all this. And we sometimes like Hezekiah. We came here with very little, and some probably with nothing. And we came here with almost nothing when we came to Canada a long time ago. We came here with nothing. And God blessed us. It's not a perfect country. There's no perfect country, but this is still a land of milk and honey and maple syrup. And here God blessed us greatly. I had an education here. I have a good education here. I have a good job here. I can buy a house. At least when I was young, it's easy to buy a house. Not for the young people now. And still, it's relatively a peaceful country. God blessed us. God blessed Hezekiah. But then he thought that this was his own accomplishment. So let us not forget all these blessings that we are receiving here today in this place of land and honey is blessings from the Lord. Even in the matter of the envoys of the rulers of Babylon, who sent to him to inquire the wonder that had happened in the land, God left him alone. Wow, that is sad, isn't it? God did not abandon him. God left him alone. He did not leave God, but God left him alone. You still come to church. You still tithe, give money. You still swear. But if your heart is hardened, if you no longer listen to the God, if you think that everything that you have is from yourself, your own effort, God will leave you alone. The third crisis that Hezekiah faced is not the enemies, not issues of his health, but is he himself, his ego, his desire, his heart. The greatest crisis that Hezekiah faced, the third crisis, is he himself. For you and I, if the Lord send a prophet to tell us there will be great punishment upon you because you no longer rely on the Lord, what will you do? What will you do? That's silence. I will be on my knees. Lord, forgive me. I will repent. But what did Hezekiah do? Verse 8. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." You are absolutely right, Isaiah. God is right. I deserve to be punished. But for he thought, but inside his heart, he says something totally the opposite. "For there will be peace and truth in my days." More interesting translation is from the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson's Message Bible. Hezekiah replied to Isaiah, "Good. If God says so, it is good." He's politically correct. He said all the right answers. The Lord is always right. Yes, God is right. I deserve to be punished. But in his heart, he was thinking, "But surely nothing bad will happen in my lifetime. I will enjoy peace and stability as long as I live." Such an indifference of heart. Spiritual numbness, isn't it? This is not the same king that we read at the beginning of my sermon. A king that brought revival, reformation to his people. This is a different. He failed the third crisis. He failed in God's blessings. How sad that is. When we are struggling with financially, with health, with issues, we bow down before the Lord. But when we are blessed, when we have good health, when we have a good place to live, a good job, a good amount of money in the bank that we no longer have to worry, we have enough, big enough pension plan that we don't have to worry about after retirement, when we have everything that make us feel secure, stable, then we forget the Lord, just like Hezekiah. That is the greatest crisis. That's the crisis that Isaiah failed. But today, we are sometimes like that. When we are stable, we no longer think of the other people. We only think of the next generation. We don't think of the needs of our children. Even Hezekiah's own children, he was not a good father. That's why one of his sons becomes the worst king of Judah, Manasseh. He only cared about he himself, that as long as I live, I will enjoy peace and stability as long as I live. So brothers and sisters, let us learn from Hezekiah here. In chapter 37, he was a man of God. He bowed before the Lord. He went to the Lord to seek for help. But now in chapter 39, he trusted his own wealth, his own everything that he had built up, his military power, and he cared only about himself. He was a great king at the beginning of my sermon. no king before him or after him is as good as Hezekiah. But after what you have learned this morning, he has everything. He is still dealing his life. God's punishment did not come. It came 100 years later. But what was his final chapter? He has to say, but surely nothing bad will happen in my lifetime. I will enjoy peace and stability as long as I live. He did not leave God, but God leave him alone. Did not bother him. And there's another man in the Bible. He did not start that well as Hezekiah. He was not a king. As we, you know, the Bible, you know that this man going through a lot of suffering. He did not start well. He was a person who against the church, against Jesus, against Christ. He was not popular. Today, if he came to our church and applied for a job as a pastor, he probably won't be hired. He has a criminal record. He was beaten repeatedly. Shipwrecked, in danger everywhere, being threatened, often hungry, thirsty, cold, naked, imprisoned many times, have a long criminal record, physical weakness and illness, probably of a chronic disease, constant anxiety for other people, always worry about the next generation, the young leaders in the church, but always being criticized by people he is serving. He has a deep sorrow for unbelieving Jews. The Gentiles is always suffering physically. Well, you all know who this person is. I'm sure. But what did he say? What did he write in his last chapter? He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. He did not start well, but he ended well. The other person started really well, but did not end well. Ecclesiastes 7:8, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. The last chapter of your book is more valuable than the introduction, the first two chapters. So, brothers and sisters, what will be your last chapter say? Let's end well. That's what I pray to the Lord. I served the Lord for many years now, for over half a century. I always pray to the Lord that I make sure that I end well. Let's pray. Father God, help all of us to always put our trust in you, so that we can be like Paul. We will fight for you, we will serve you, we will trust you until the last day of our life on earth. Let us learn from Hezekiah. Let our faith continue. Let us all end well. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.